This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon to you. 4:06, a little late in the day for me to be punching buttons and operating machinery, but here we are.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I can't do it.
We've never cross-trained you in that area to run all the electronic equipment. Now that you've got extra time.
Oh, yeah.
And you are so computer proficient.
Yes, I know. I can do my flip phone really well.
You know, those are not going to be supported much longer. You are going to have to move to the current century because they're not going to let you keep using those.
Why?
Because it's just like trying to drive an old car that you can't get parts for.
Wow, what's wrong with Model A's and Model T's?
Oh, boy. See what we've dealt with around here for Wednesday afternoons.
But I know plants and I know trees and I know ground. So
well, there. Okay. And could you do anything about the weather?
I like the rain, and it is filling up our reservoirs and saturating our forests, and it's the most rain we've had, I think, in the last 4 or 5 winters, if I'm not mistaken.
Boy, I tell you, looking out, and I've been so busy today, I've not been outside very much, but not been super pleasant.
No. My feet are still wet. I mean, it's... Yeah, you know, I mean, and it happens. I get out and I get rained on, man. I start it very early in the morning, even though I don't own my business anymore. I'm still meeting with the crew in the morning to make sure everything is okay and doing that transition kind of thing. But I do get wet because I work at my place as well. So.
Well, I tell you, being out walking some lately has been very tricky.
Oh yeah.
Because there have been some days where I've gotten sprinkled on, and a little bit I'm okay with,
yeah.
you know. But if it's going to be raining in a delusional, whatever that word is, amount. I actually, the giant room behind you there, sort of the big open area with cubicles.
Yeah.
I actually, a couple months ago, I really wanted to get some miles in on a Sunday afternoon. Weather was not cooperating, so I walked 6 miles inside the building.
How many laps is that?
I can actually do a full lap every minute.
Really?
Because I'm booking along. So.
Jeez.
Yeah, so I did that for however long it took to get and you can't go as fast inside a building either.
Well, I didn't think so.
And you have to keep turning, you know, and it's not as cathartic because you're not leaving your work behind because it's still here. So,
and there's no new scenery.
Yeah, no, everything looks the same. Yards, lawns, gardens, what do you have for us today?
Well, I got a lot of different little things. For this time of year, it's a challenge to come up with something that somebody would actually be interested in. But if you have a question and you are stumped on something you need to do in your yard, you may call 673-4464, and Kyle will put you on the air. You can ask your question, and I'll give you the best answer you ever had in your entire life, bar none.
Wow.
How's that? But, I do still have a flip phone. But I know it's only early January, but I see bulbs and primroses in bloom already. I saw them the other day. I couldn't believe it. I thought, well, how in the world could they have those things on? Well, obviously, they were grown in a greenhouse, and somebody that was coming out of Bi-Mart had a whole basket full of these things, and I thought, how pretty. It's only, at that time, the 9th of January, and I'm thinking it's still a little early for crying out loud, but so be it. But, and like I say, they had to come out of a nice warm greenhouse because they were just a little bit premature in their bloom. So if you buy some of these things that you see and are attracted to, protect them from any future deep freeze that happens to come along, which occasionally does in January and February and even in March. But it could, something like that may occur in the next 2 to 3 weeks. You never can tell. Kyle never gets the weather right, so who knows what will happen. But after the 1st of February, it'll probably be safe to plant them. It's probably safe now, but, you know, just a little extra precaution as far as When should I put them in the ground? Besides, the ground is super saturated right now, and it's not a barrel of laughs to go ahead and dig in the squishy mud and then put some fragile flower that just came out of a greenhouse into the squishy mud and put the squishy mud on top and tamp it down. You're practically crushing the roots when you're doing that, and I don't know what's going to survive. It may not, but you can make that decision when you're doing it. So, but like I say, after the 1st of February, you know, we get over this rainy thing, which I like. I like because it's charging our groundwater, charging our watersheds, and getting things kind of almost back to normal, if you will, because the last few years, 3, 4, 5 years, have been substandard precipitation levels. And In over the last 2 years, I've seen a lot of young Douglas fir and other conifers dying because of the lack of soil moisture. And it's simply because we just didn't have the rain. That's it. That's the bottom line. And we had some pretty hot summers as well. But anyway, on these bulbs, like I say, keep them under cover for a while on your deck or on your porch or in the garage. You know, put them by a window so they can have some light. And if you have no window and you still got them in the garage, maybe you could put some kind of a light bulb over the top of them for at least 6 hours a day. And you know, and if they are not protected and we get snow or ice for a week, they may not look good if you plant them outside right now. So kind of hold off. It's nice to get stuff. It's nice to say, wow, spring's here. Well, it ain't. But it's nice to think that it's close, at least within another 30 to 40 days, maybe, something like that, or 50 days. It seems like it's been a long, cold winter. And we could get some more, but folks are anxious for some spring color. I know the feeling. I've experienced it for the last 50 years. In the meantime, there are some yard chores you can do if you're so inclined and you've got, you know, a raincoat and a slicker and mud boots. You know, are your shrubs overgrown a bit? Well, hey, do you have some fruit trees in your yard that need a little bit of pruning? Well, now's the best time to cut them back on the wild growth. You know, don't let that wild growth become even wilder in this next springtime. And you know, when you're pruning your fruit trees, you're pruning for health of the tree and for fruit production. Because a fruit tree, you know, say something that's been in the ground for 3, 4 years, 5 years, got a lot of branches in them already. A lot of little skinny branches that really don't do anything but put on leaves and take energy from the root system. And if you get fruit on those kinds of trees, it's a bit substandard, small, and it's not really what you're looking for. So what you want to do is thin out those skinny little branches that are non-productive so that the energy from the root system goes to that which you leave, which are the larger branches, you know, something the size of your thumb or, you know, something like that. And then you prune the ends of those back so that you create some good bearing spurs, and they'll be good to go. And sometimes you might have to cut some of these back, maybe 50%, just to kind of get them, you know, last year's new growth. Let's say there's a branch or two that grew 2 feet. Well, at least cut that thing back 50%, you know, minimum, or even more. I've been known to drastically prune things just to see what would happen. And what I saw happen was really surprising, consequently, because I gave that tree more energy to produce good fruit on the few branches that I did leave. And, you know, I've learned a lot through experimenting and seeing, well, how drastically can I cut this tree or this shrub and still have it live and produce or do what it's going to do? And I have become a firm believer that, of course, you can't kill them by pruning them unless you prune them all the way down to the ground. But you can create a lot on flowering watering shrubs, for instance, by pruning them back, you're getting rid of that ancillary growth on the end that doesn't bloom anyway. And that energy goes to flower production on those branches that you leave. And the same way with fruit, that energy goes on to those branches that you leave because there's more energy going into them and they're more mature than the last year's new growth. And that's what's really important. And pruning, of course, produces better sunlight and it helps with disease not becoming established because there's not that much shade, if you will, left in that tree. Then there's better air circulation. And a lot of your fungi and things like this, they like the shade. They like it damp. They like it cold or cool, at least. And by removing a large percentage of those interior branches, you create that sunlight and the breeze and whatever to get in there and circulate. And it makes it a better tree, a healthier tree, and more productive as well. So that's the deal behind that. And then fertilizing. Fertilizing, if you haven't fertilized in a year or two, and I meet people like that all the time, it's important.
What,
as well.
Who are you looking at?
I wasn't looking at you. I've been your yard a few times. I know your yard, buddy. But it's important if you have a dry granular fertilizer and you do it now, it's not going to get down into the root system for at least 5 weeks. So you're safe to do it. Just don't overdo it. Thinking it'll be good for the trees or the smaller shrubs or something like that. It ain't good if it goes down there full strength, you know, prior to real spring. And so you go light, and you can add a little more each month until, say, April or May. And that way it gets a consistent feeding of smaller amounts, and it just makes it a better plant and a better producer, should it be like a berry vine or a grape vine or a semi-dwarf apple tree or something like that. And then right now you can let the rain do the job of getting it down to the roots because you don't have to water it. It's just a natural phenomenon falling out of the sky. And anyway, you don't want to fertilize a brand new plant yet. If you just planted it, don't fertilize it. Leave it alone for a month, maybe 2 months, before you start manipulating with the fertilizer and trying to produce faster, better growth or something like that. So, and then when shopping for fertilizer, don't get Brand X for $2 a bag. It's not worth it. You can get cow manure a lot cheaper and do a lot better job than the $2 a bag stuff. But buy a top quality plant food at the higher price and you'll have great results. And it's formulated to do a good job for you. And a slow release formula. In other words, as the water, whether it be your hose or the rain, hits the outside of the fertilizer, it soaks through, but it doesn't release it all 100%. It releases just a small portion of the active ingredients in there, and that's what you want to have. It's like if you sat down at Thanksgiving and ate the whole turkey, or and fainted after you got done with that, or you know, you take a regular portion today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, you're certainly more healthy and in better shape having done that than trying to eat the whole stinking thing on Thanksgiving Day. So at any rate, when shopping for that fertilizer, like I say, don't get that Brand X for $2 a bag. It's not going to give you any oomph for what you want. And you always want to get that high quality, good top quality stuff at the higher price, and you're going to have great results. And they've got, you know, like 15 brands of fertilizer on any shelf, like in the Co-op or some Coastal or, you know, those places. Read the ingredients on the bag. Read some of the highlighted material on the bag, and it will give you some basic information of what is in there, what the strength is, how to apply it, and you know, follow the directions, and you'll be in good shape. Whereas the other stuff, it's not even worth looking at. But some people have a budget for the lower price, and it's going to take a whole lot more of that lower price material to do the same effect on a small bit of the higher price stuff.
Which means you're going to spend as much, if not more, money.
Right, exactly, exactly. And more time applying.
Does he have to do it again and again?
Yeah, kind of like your yard, Kyle. You know, when I go over there and you want me to do some things there, and I go, geez, Liz, it hadn't been fertilized since the last time I've been here.
Oh, boy.
I'm just joking. I do it on purpose.
On that note, we will be right back. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 421 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Are we supposed to get cake for you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, or just give me a check instead and I'll buy my own cake.
Anniversary month, huh?
I know. It's amazing.
20 years.
20 years.
Of the Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show.
Exactly.
Some people have been listening to this their entire life.
Some of them listened to it once and turned it off, I'll bet.
No, not according to the ratings. So,
well, that's good. That's
20
good.
Years, though. So you and George Norrie started the same month.
Yeah, probably the same day, too.
From
I'm not
coast
sure.
to coast. So I'll be darned. Now, we were just talking about that during the break. George Norrie, 20 years on Coast to Coast this month. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 20 years on KQEN this month. So.
That's right. But I'm not coast to coast, I don't think.
Well, we have this internet thing, though, then people can listen throughout the world.
Oh, you mean on 541radio.com?
That's right. And hey, you never know how far away people are listening. We do have regular listeners in Portland. We know that.
Well, I found out that there's a young man who listens to me in South Carolina.
Very good.
Yeah. And I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. But anyway, I'm talking about, you know, the new plants that you're finding out there in the different box stores now that, you know, it's a bit premature for these kinds of things. And to have good success, you want to make sure, like I said, to protect them. Maybe not plant them for a while. Let them sit on the back porch undercover and not get super saturated or snowed on or hail or something like that. But going on, you know, some of our lawns at this point in time, and I'm going to speak a lot about lawns, even though you're not going to work on them for a while. The lawns are probably, you know, a little weak looking, some of them. They're not that deep green like you find them in April and May and June. They're kind of light green, and maybe there's some yellow through there and you're tempted to fertilize them. Don't, not yet. It's a bit premature. This is still January. And I would wait till at least, after the first week or so in February to begin. But it's just not ready. It won't hurt the lawn, really. It will, but what it will do, if it makes the grass grow, you're going to be mowing much sooner than normal. and you don't want to do that because you're going to put ruts in your lawn from the mower. And then you're going to be going, oh, man, I got ruts in my lawn. Now I got to fix that. And so don't push the season. You know, depending on the weather, March or April is a good time for lawn food. And, you know, because we haven't had as much rain, the ground is a little bit firmer than it is right now, for instance. I mean, walk across your lawn right now and see what happens. See how it feels on your feet as you walk across and the footprints you leave behind. And if you did something with a machine like mow it, you'd find a lot of damage that you'd have to correct later on when the ground actually dried out. But in March or April, you know, the ground is firmer. Most of the moisture has gone down into the subsoil. It's there. The root systems are good and wet. The top might not be, but that's okay. maybe the first couple of inches might be damp, and then you get down there about 4 or 5 inches, and it's a little bit wetter. You get down there by 8 or 10 inches, and it's really wet. So don't sweat the program. It's really good. And besides that, like I say, it's hard to mow wet grass. It's a sloppy, stinking mess when you do it. But if you got 3 days of sunshine and no rain, you could start a little bit of mowing, as long as the ground was firm enough that it would handle you and the machinery at the same time. And, you know, a healthy lawn needs regular feeding, and I've spoken about that 1,000 times. Well, maybe not 1,000, but 100 times. But a healthy lawn needs regular feeding, say, about every 6 weeks, from about March to November. And again, a high-quality lawn food is your best bet. That's where you're going to get your best results. And some of them also have trace elements, which, you know, all fertilizer, all lawn food, for instance, has nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Those are the three big numbers you see on the package. And nitrogen, if it's a lawn food, is the highest percentage. Then phosphorus and potassium, you hear about half of what that first number is. So if it's 20% nitrogen, you'll have 10% phosphorus, 10% potassium. But then the really high-class fertilizers also have trace elements. And boron, zinc, molybdenum, those kinds of things that nobody ever, you didn't learn about it in high school because you couldn't pronounce it or something like that. And but they do have it, and all of that is it's like a complete meal. Okay, it's something that will help whatever you're fertilizing, whether it's a tree, shrub, or a lawn, or a hanging basket. It's going to do a good job for you. But lawn health is important, and one of the many calls I get throughout the landscape year, well, I have gotten in the past at least, is my lawn has only been in for a year and it's yellow, or it's got bare spots, or it's got this, or it's got that. And so, you know, we do a consultation service, so go over, I'll analyze the soil, I'll look at the moisture level, ask questions about how much are you watering, or are you watering yet, or are you watering too much? Have you fed it? Have you given it any fertilizer, or when's the last time you did fertilize it? And once you get the information, and most people are honest with that, and if I get good information, then I can give them a corrective path on which to go, and they get better results. And usually if they'll do that and stick with it for a month or two, they're going to see a significant difference in their lawn, in the color, the growth, the health, the overall health, and that kind of thing. And they, you know, a lot of times I get calls and they say, hey, that lawn looks good, thank you very much. Or they write me a note and say, it really looks good, thank you for your advice, I'm going to follow it, blah, 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 blah. And another thing I have found to be detrimental to lawns here in Douglas County, at least, some folks mow their lawns too short. and as a result, several issues can occur. And cutting too low to save time, say, on frequent mowing is hazardous to the health of your lawn. And you mow too low and you increase weed growth. A lot of folks don't understand that, because it weakens the grass because you've cut it so low. Some folks will go out there and scalp it, put their mower down on the lowest level and go over now and say, well, I don't have to mow for another 2 weeks. Well, maybe that's true. But in the interim, meantime, you have weakened the lawn to the point where any weed seed that is in the soil that's laying dormant all of a sudden sees an opportunity to grow, because the competition, i.e. the lawn, is a little feeble at that point. And so the weed seed, the competitor, which is the lawn, isn't as in good a shape, so the weed seed can germinate. And people say, well, gosh, I did this, and this, and I'm still getting these weeds. And again, I ask, when's the last time you fertilized it? What's your watering technique? You know, length of watering, times per week, et cetera, and how low do you mow? Usually I can tell how low they mow when I arrive and say, lawn's way too short. It's better to leave it a little long, a little scraggly, a little, you know, just keep it up that way. But to save time on frequent mowing is hazardous, like I say, to your lawn. And you just get that weed growth. Why do that? Why go through that whole thing? And then pretty soon you're going, my lawn is nothing but weeds, for crying out loud. But you can fix it. It's not hard to do. And you can keep those weeds to a minimum. You're always going to have weeds in Douglas County. That's the problem with Douglas County. Our climate is a weed climate. I mean, everything is green. Everything grows. We get all this rain, sunshine, etc. And as a consequence, you get good weed growth. And you get good plant growth as well. But the weeds are a competitor. And so my advice is, you know, mow less frequently so that the grass can stay stronger and the weeds cannot compete with strong grass. Strong grass keeps weeds at a minimum, and that's what you want. It's always better to keep that lawn a little shaggy. And then you'll have less weeds because the grass, if it's a little shaggy, a little long, it will shade the area. There won't be any bare spots. And the weed comes in when the lawn is stressed. And if it's longer and it's greener, it's not stressed. It's doing really, really well. So consequently, the weed cannot get started. It cannot, it may germinate, but then it has no room to grow. So it consequently, it dies. It passes away into weedland. But that's the bottom line. Also, another tip here, the mower blades on your mower need to be sharp for a good clean cut. Dull blades rip the grass blades and cause them to look, you know, and cause them to lose their vitality. And wounded grass blades slow the grass growth, and then weeds then again have an opportunity to grow because the grass is in a weakened state, and because it's been a ragged cut, because maybe your blades are not sharp, or not only mowing too low, but you might mow high, but if your mower is not cutting, it's ripping, then you're destroying or making the grass weaker long term. So consequently, the weeds have a better chance to get going. And then there's, like I say, the summer, the short grass in the summer, heat and the sun, they burn quickly. And, you know, you mow it and say, I don't have to mow it for another 2 weeks, okay. But the lawn is brown or light green or maybe yellow. And then the weeds really take over because you've given them a great opportunity. So the tendency then is to overwater, and at this point, this gives the weeds a boost because the lawn is still trying to recuperate. The weeds are in full swing, and you pump the water to them, and then the weeds are just going, wow, we love this place. We're never going to leave. You know, that's good. So sharpen the blades. Sharp blades are going to, they're not going to scalp the lawn. I mean, that's a good clean cut. And then proper fertilizing, proper watering is going to keep your lawn green, strong, and healthy with less weeds. And that's one of the biggest problems that people call me with. I got all these weeds. What do I do? Well, there are chemical solutions to that, but like Weed and Feed, I personally don't like Weed and Feed. I've tried it on numerous occasions, and yes, it does some weed killing, but it also, if you get a little too much on, it also is detrimental to your grass. So you have to be really selective and careful when you get the weed feed, like Ortho Weed Feed or one of the, you know, other big name things. Just be real careful and make sure you read the directions really, really well. And it may knock out maybe 50% of your weeds, but don't look for, don't think you're going to get 100% weed-free lawn. It's not going to work. I know, and that Weed and Feed stuff is very expensive for a 20-pound sack or a 10-pound sack.
We read the follow the directions?
Yeah, you got to follow the directions, man.
Oh, boy.
We going to come back?
We are.
Okay, I'll be here. I'll stay.
Apparently, that's what my directions say. So, back with more in a moment. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, 436 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You realize a couple days ago there was a period of time there where 90% of California was under a flood warning?
Yeah.
10% of the entire U.S.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I was at, what's his name? The guy that got appointed as Dallas Hurd's...
David Brock Smith?
David Brock Smith. I was at that thing this morning. And I was talking to him. I said, well, how's the roads over there? He said, oh, they're terrible. And I said, did you have to go all the way to Crescent City to come up here? And he says, no, I was able to get through where the apparently part of the highway dropped 12 feet.
12 to 15 feet, yeah.
Jeez Louise. Man. So at any rate, if you have a question, 673-4464, and you can ask your question, and I shall give you an answer. So, at any rate, I was talking about lawns, and probably thinking, well, why is he talking about lawns in January, for crying out? Just to get you thinking about it, that's all, because before you know it, it's going to be March, and you're going, oh, what should I do? Well, I'm giving you some upfront information now that you can take and sit upon and think about and plan what you're going to do over the next 5-6 weeks, watching your lawn and looking at your shrubs and that kind of thing. And just remember this. A green lawn looks great. And it cools the yard at the same time. And this also, when it's green and kind of longish, it also retains that soil moisture so that you can water less frequently, whether you do it by hand or you do it in a sprinkler system. And, you know, when all that's happening, that in that healthy lawn, weed growth is minimal. Now, if you are thinking of a new lawn, you don't have one, so you want to build one. Well, there are several issues you need to consider. And the first thing is, like if you got an existing lawn and you want to rejuvenate it, or you've got bare ground for a brand new lawn, there's two different techniques in which to approach that idea. And, you know, since the good thing is, since it has been raining so hard, and well, not so hard, but so long, we can see what's happening concerning drainage. Drainage is extremely important, especially in the housing development where all the yards are backed up to one another. And if your neighbor does something different in his yard or their yard to block the drainage that goes from your yard, you might begin to have some water problems and you can't figure out what's going on. But unbeknownst to you, the neighbor did something, and he didn't do it on purpose, or she didn't do it on purpose, as well as dig this or build this up or do this, and next thing you know, the next door neighbor has a water problem or a drainage problem. So look at your yard real closely when it's raining like this, and are there any large puddles in the middle of the lawn or in the middle of the yard? Are there low spots that you hadn't seen in the summer? You kind of thought there might be, but they weren't real visible. But now that there's standing water an inch deep or 2 inches deep in these areas, you go, aha, I got to fix that. I got to do something with that. Because if you don't fix it and you don't do something with it, whatever you're growing in there, be it plants or lawn, is not going to do its best for you. And over time, it'll get worse. It does not self-correct, if you will, and make it go away. So if prior to planting or prior to installing a new lawn, say you want to, you're determined to do a new lawn, you know, and there's low spots, you know, that need to be brought up to grade, and you checked and, you know, is there any erosion going on? Whatever you find out, it needs to be corrected before any new lawn should be installed, because otherwise you'll have the same problems with the brand new lawn as you did with the old lawn. So your first job when the ground is dry is to fill any of those low spots or holes. And if you see like small little streams running across the yard, you know you've got there's a problem above your yard that you need to be aware of, and you need to redirect that little stream, maybe a retaining wall with a drain pipe behind it or some rock or something like that to dissipate the drain. But you want to find out what's causing that, and you want to fix it when it's dry enough to do so. Don't bother trying to fix it when it's like this, unless it's a super emergency and you got to take care of it. But wait till we've got a week of sunshine and a week of dry weather, and you can actually see the seepage stop, and then maybe you already know where it's coming from. At that point in time, you're able to fix it and fix it correctly. And if you don't know what to do, you can call one of us landscapers out there who have done, you know, hundreds and hundreds of these repair things, and say, hey, what do I do with this? And when people call me up and I see this problem, and I say, well, number one, we need to do this. Number two, we need to do that. Number three, we'll get that going in another direction so it doesn't wreck your lawn, or it doesn't wreck your flower bed, or it doesn't undermine your flagstone pathway. You know, I mean, all those problems that can be created by excessive water draining where it's not supposed to drain. So small streams, low spots, anything like that, you see it, fix it. If you don't know how to fix it, call somebody that knows how, and just make sure, well, you can't do anything until it's dry enough to do so, but it's fixable. It will work. Okay, now if you want a new lawn, you want a new lawn, and you're going to be doing it from scratch, or maybe just a redo of an existing patch of grass, proper drainage is a must for either choice. And if the existing patch of grass is kind of, not up to snuff, there's ways to fix that. And if you are going to put a new lawn in and it's just a weed patch, it doesn't matter. Just till it up. When you can mark those low spots with some short stakes, for instance, there you see the low spots, that's your first thing. You say, well, I don't want to forget where it is, so you take some little one by half inch pointed stakes, and kind of don't do a big perimeter, but just put two or three stakes around there to designate that's where the low spot is. That's where the edges of them are, because trying to memorize the low spot, sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. So the little stakes or maybe some spray paint, water-soluble spray paint, just to mark the spot and say, okay, when it's dry enough, I'll get the soil, I'll fix it, and we'll get that thing all finished. Okay, so, and this is like in an existing patch of grass. So proper drainage, whether it's new lawn or existing lawn, it's the thing you have to do. It's a must. And once you're all marked out, then you want to determine what you're going to need when it all dries up. Like, will a pickup load of soil do the job, and just kind of borrow my friend's truck, or I have a pickup truck, I can go get a scoop of topsoil at one of the places, or do I need a load of 10 yards of topsoil from like Umpqua Sand and Gravel or Beaver State, one of those things. And if this is just a small fix-it project, patch it. But if it's going to be a brand new lawn, you got to do the full meal deal. You got to get maybe 10, 20 yards of topsoil and deliver it at the proper time when they can do it. They can't do it now. It's too wet. But, when you're ready to do a new lawn or fix an existing one, then they can get the topsoil to you, because they go hand in hand. when it's like dry enough to rototill, make sure that what you go through with an existing lawn, go through it two or three times. Go through it one way and then go through it in the opposite direction or perpendicular to the direction you did it once. And the deeper you can go, the better it is, because the soil will all blend together. And the more you till it, the more of a good mix you get. And if it's still, like I say, 1,000 times a year, most of Douglas County is clay soil. So you want to break up the clay. You can do it by putting some old decomposed bark mulch in there, or some compost material of some sort, or even sand, or all three as a combo, and till it all together. And then you've got proper drainage. So whatever you plant in there, the roots are going to develop very quickly and go down very quickly. So that's a super important thing to do. And two or three, well, a minimum of twice, and at least three times would be better. So it's all thoroughly ground up in that soil. And then you can, for a final tilling, you could add that planting compost that I was talking about. And then you begin to level and grade it. Now, leveling...
Wait, hold that thought. Why? Because we're going to do this.
Oh, man.
So just stay unleveled.
Hang on. I'll tell you the rest of the story.
All right. 450 Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report coming at 5 with Douglas County's news team. The Ramsey Show at 5:30. Rich Valdez, America at Night, and Coast to Coast all ahead this evening. Now, you're talking about getting things leveled up.
Yeah, and we're saying that everything's all tilled up, but it's not smooth by any stretch of the imagination. So you need to get, you can rent a leveler from one of the tool companies, rental companies around here. It's actually a big blade on wheels, and you just kind of drag it around, and it really does a good job leveling. And when you're leveling, you're also semi-compacting the ground that you're leveling with, because it fills in all the holes, and you may have to go over it and several different times in several different directions, and then you step back and take a look at it. You get down eyeball level and look at across, and you can see any waves or high spots that you might have missed or didn't see when you were doing it, if you've never done it before, and get in there and give it a real quick touch up, and then when it's graded, when it's level, when it's nice, and if you want to have a little bit of a slope to it, you can don't dump all your excess water on your neighbor, but a little bit of a slope so water doesn't sit, that's okay. I mean, I'm talking 1% or less. And so then at that point, you're ready for sod or you're ready for seed, because you've already tilled it. You've tilled all the soil amendments in it. Now you've leveled it. You've graded it. It's smooth. It's nice. It's ready to go. And you can roll it with a roller. And it's somewhat firm. So when you walk across it, you're not putting in footprints that are an inch deep that messes up your grading job. But then you're ready for, like I say, seed or sod. And if the size of the area is small, say 2,000 square feet or less, you can invest in sod and it won't break the bank. It's a little bit more labor and a little bit more expense, but it is weed-free and usable within like 2 weeks. I mean, you can get out there in 2 weeks and have a picnic on it, and it'll be green, it'll be lush. You won't see any of the lines, it'll be well done. Now, a seed lawn, you figure, oh, maybe about half the price or a third of the price, depending on the size, the square footage, et cetera. And there's less labor to install because seed doesn't, you know, a roll of sod weighs, 20 pounds, and if it's wet and it's a little big, it might weigh 25 pounds. And if you carry 100 of those within an hour, you feel it. And it's, you go, whoa, what did I do, man? But a seed lawn is a lot easier because seed is a lot lighter. And therefore, it's, like I say, about a half price to, less labor to install. And it's real good. You're going to cover it maybe with some peat moss and wait for the new grass to come in, but it's not usable yet, and it's not going to be usable probably for another month or so until it completely fills in. And too much water is, bad for it. You keep it damp but not saturated, unless it's maybe August, and if it was August, I'd wait till October to do the job, or at least till the middle of September. And it's going to take like 3 weeks for it to get in and get full. I mean, you'll see some action in the summertime or springtime. You'll see some action on new seed germination in about 3 or 4 days. You start seeing a very light green. And with another week goes by, the whole thing is light green. And then another week goes by, and you go, wow, it's growing fast. I mean, it fills in fairly good and fairly quickly, too. But on a seed lawn, and this is where I go sideways on the watering I just told you about. Since it's a seed lawn, you might be watering 4 to 6 times a day, but you're not watering a lot. You're just watering to keep the seed damp and the ground damp. And you don't want to, you know, if it's 85 and above, you want to water first thing in the morning, a couple times during the day, and then at night before you know, after the sun goes down, give it another shot. And you do it if you're doing it with a hose, have one of those old-fashioned sprinklers where you just kind of turn the handle and you get a nice fine spray. That's all it needs, like a nice fine spray, just so it's damp and it penetrates just a little bit, but you don't want to make puddles, that's for sure. Now, a sod lawn also needs water for the first week or so, maybe 3 times a day if it's real hot. It just depends on the weather. And when they're fully rooted, twice a week watering is probably all you're going to do to keep it good and green and growing. And at least maybe a 30-minute soak early in the morning or after sunset, and when you have less evaporation. And fertilize, so say, every 60 days, both seed or sod, through the growing season, like March to October would be, say, the growing season. And again, use a high-quality lawn food, like what's used on golf courses or parks, that kind of thing. They don't buy cheap stuff. And lawns, figure this, lawns create beauty. They create coolness in your yard. And to your property, if you ever sell, you can get top dollar if you have green grass when the potential client shows up to look at your home. And you can get that kind of information from just about any real estate agent in Douglas County and any national magazine that pertains to real estate and home selling, that kind of thing. Green lawns sell homes. And if you got a brown patch of grass out there, it's... you know, the initial impression is, oh my gosh, what's the rest of the place look like? Thanks for listening. See you next week. Get busy.
All right, there we go. Afternoon report ahead, coming up on 5 o'clock.